And God, we thank you that you are great. We thank you that everything we have is a gift from you. It's your breath, the very breath we have to breathe. Your praise is a gift for you. And as we come and we lift up your name, as we hear your word, and as we give of our time and our treasure and our talent, God, we know it's all returning what you've already given to us. So we thank you for what a great, what a good, what a generous God you are. We praise your name. We praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. We love you. Amen. Well, good morning. It's been a good morning so far. And I know God has some more good stuff in store for us today. As we go, before we dive into to our passage today, I'd like to take you on a little journey with me. If it helps you to imagine, close your eyes, would you do that? I want to take you to a magical place. A place many people like to go. It's a real place. Close your eyes and imagine yourself walking through some sliding doors into just an incredibly massive building. And as you walk in, you start to see some sights, smell some smells. You're overcome by the warmth and the glow of hundreds of electronic screens of all shapes and sizes, just glowing on you in all their glory. And you walk further and you start to smell. You smell the highest quality deep fried food. And the best hot dog and pop you can buy for $1.50. And you keep walking and you realize, yes, I am here. I am in Costco. I have arrived. And so you keep walking. You're grabbing the odd item off the shelf, or maybe more than the odd item off the shelf. The stuff you normally buy and the stuff that grabs your attention. And you walk past sample row, the hot sample row. And it's glorious. And you walk past and there's taquitos, but of course, there's none left. Ever. Never, ever have I gotten a taquito sample. But you keep walking. And you keep walking. More samples. You pass the spinach chips, which of course, there's tons of samples. Because no one wants those things that are gross. And as you're walking, you see it. You put the odd item in your cart, you put another item in your cart, and then you see it. It shines on you in all of its glory. A yellow highlighted sign, and it says, $5 off. And you're like, $5 off. And it piques your interest, and you want to go in and you want to take a closer look. $5 off. Well, $5 off what? I have the potential to save $5 today if I buy this item, right? I have the potential to save $5, but I need to know what it is I'm buying. Is it something I'm going to buy anyway? Is it something I could have bought? And if I buy it, then I save $5? You see the sign. It grabs your attention. It's highlighted in yellow, and you want to go in for a closer look. And there's things in this world that do that. It's used in marketing, in newspapers, headlines. They're designed to grab your attention. They're designed to make you want to go in for a closer look to see, hey, how is this headline explained? What is actually happening in this story? There's something on Facebook, and it's been termed clickbait. Have you ever seen something that's I got a headline, and it's clickbait. What clickbait is it gives you all the expectations in the world. Like, watch this video, and at 2 minutes and 37 seconds, I lost my mind, and I knelt on the ground weeping. And so you're like, wow, I got to watch this thing. It's obviously amazing. And so you go in for a closer look just to find out. It's just, you know, your average video, which is kind of inspiring. But it's things like that that are designed to grab our attention. And make us go in for a closer look to see, hey, what's this all about? Well, we're studying right now, as a church, the book of Acts. And how the early church was birthed and the kinds of things that happened. And in the book of Acts, there's a handful of phrases that really do that. They grab my attention like the newspaper headline or like the price reduction in Costco. They grab my attention and they make me want to go in for a closer look. Pastor Dave was speaking about that last week. Two of them are in the passage he spoke on last week in Acts chapter 2. In verse 42, we read that 3,000 people were added to their number, to the number of the church. It went from like 120 guys to 3,120 guys because 3,000 people were added in one day. And it grabs my attention. It makes me want to take a closer look and say, well, how did that happen? And we find out that, you know, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he preached an amazing message. And God, through Peter, cut them to the heart, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. And then we read on at the end of that chapter. One of my favorite phrases in the book of Acts is this. It says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. And as a guy who loves the church and who loves to see the church grow and move forward, who loves this church and wants to see it grow and loves the church of the Comox Valley, Canada, North America, the world, wants to see it move forward and advance. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That grabs my attention, and I want to go in for a closer look and say, well, what happened? And it describes the people who were gathering, and they were gathering as often as they could. They devoted themselves to gathering, to prayer, to teaching, to radical generosity. Signs and wonders were happening, and they were taking care of each other. Excuse me. And so we see these eye-catching things makes us want to dive in for a closer look. And there's another one that is actually where we're going to be today. It's found in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. We're going to be looking today at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And at the very end of that, in verse 7, there is another one of these attention-grabbing sentences. In chapter 6 of Acts, verse 7, it says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And that grabs my attention. The word is multiplying greatly. Wow. The word is... Oh, the word of God is increasing. That's what it was. Increasing. The word is increasing. More people are hearing the gospel that, you know, you need Jesus, but good news, he died for you, and he can take away your sin. It's increasing. More people are hearing it. And it says the number of the disciples, those who became obedient to the faith, it multiplied greatly. And I'm not good at math, but multiplying is when you take a lot more. And then when you say multiplying greatly, you take really a lot more, right? Math teachers, am I right? It's been a while. since I've been in a math class, but multiplying greatly. The disciples multiplied greatly. This is like, oh, this is blowing my mind already. And then it says a great many, not just a few, a great many of the priests, the Jewish priests, were becoming obedient to the faith. A great many. And these are guys who had a lot to lose if they did so. They may not be allowed back in the temple if they claim Jesus as Lord. They could lose a lot. They could lose their very livelihood if they turn to Jesus. And it says a great many of them are doing that. And so it causes me to grabs my attention, like the $5 off sign, except a lot better. And it makes me want to go see, well, what happened? What are the verses before this saying? And so why don't we read it again from the top? Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and I believe we have it on the screen, but I'm reading from the ESV, and it's in the NIV on the screen. It's the same. It's all the Word of God, it just may be easier to follow along just with your ears. But it says this, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists explain who those are later. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and, oh, here we go, Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. I did it. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on him. And here's our verse. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Now, I'm going to be straight up with you. I was a little underwhelmed. I was expecting miracles. You know, you hear the church continues to explode. Miracles like someone got healed and like Peter did, raised someone up who could never walk, and now he's walking and jumping around, an impressive sermon, or they spoke out in boldness. But here we've got, well, there was an issue, and some people were being overlooked, so they formed a committee and took care of the problem. It's like, oh, really? That's going to preach. But that was my first reaction. Because the book of Acts is full of some flashy stuff, some signs, wonders, miracles, boldness, power. And here, it just seemed like, oh, man, I couldn't get one of those passages. But God started to speak to me. He's like, you know what? I don't waste words in the Bible. So this is in here for a reason. And it's where it is for a reason. It's the reason it comes right before that attention-grabbing passage, right? So there's a reason it's in there, and it's the reason it is where it is. And I want to teach you something through this. And hopefully he teaches us all something through this. But kind of what he said to me is, you know what? Church growth doesn't always happen. Church flourishing doesn't always happen through the miraculous and the flashy. Sometimes it happens with the downright practical. And sometimes it's not, you know, oh, we need more miracles. We need more energy. We need greater preaching. We need this, that, or the next thing. Sometimes we just need to get practical. And sometimes we need to get back to just some basics. And so so what I want to do, there's actually, as I look through, there's a ton of stuff we could talk about today. But I got three things that I want to mention, and they all begin with the church flourishes when. Kind of like you might be a redneck if, but completely different. If you've seen Jeff Foxworthy, you might get that. If not, let it slide. But the church flourishes when. And three things I'm going to highlight today. Church flourishes, or the church flourished in that time, because, first of all, prejudices were broken down. The church flourished. Through this passage, we see that the church flourished. First of all, prejudices were broken down. Well, where do I get that? Well, it clearly outlines two people groups, the Hebrews and the Hellenists. And I know Hellenist is probably not a word that we generally toss out in our everyday. Hey, Tom, yeah, he's the new guy. Yeah, he's a Hellenist. And you might wonder what I'm talking about, and it might sound a little bit, if you don't know what it is. What it is there were two kinds of Jewish people, you could say. There were the Jews who lived in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas and were centered around the temple and really were all together as God's people in one place. And then there were other Jews who were part of what's called the diaspora, or dispersed people, who were living in mainly the surrounding areas quite far away, where they spoke Greek and had Greek customs, Greek laws, all that kind of stuff. And they were Jewish people who were following God. But they were kind of viewed as outsiders. There was a language barrier, and some of them would come back to Jerusalem and live there. But there was the language barrier. They mainly spoke Greek, not Hebrew, and then there was a cultural barrier. They took all the Greek customs, and they were still very much attached to all their Greek customs. And so there's the language and the cultural differences, and what we see here is people being overlooked very much because of a cultural difference. People being overlooked because they are different, not for any other reason. And I'm going to give the Hebrew believers in this time the benefit of the doubt. And a lot of the people who write the commentaries, they say, you know what, we don't think this is an intentional, like, we don't like the Hellenist Jews, so we're not going to serve their widows. Because what was happening is they were being overlooked. The church was generous. They were giving to those in need. And this one group of people seems to be overlooked. But what I read is it was likely not a shunning of these widows. It was likely more like what I can relate to. How we tend to gravitate to those who are like us. We tend to gravitate to those who are liked by us. We tend to gravitate to the similar and the people we want to hang out with. And it's not like we're like, nah, we don't like those people. We're just not going to hang out with them. We don't like those people. We're not going to pray with them or minister to them or whatever. It's more like we just gravitate in one direction. So it can be anywhere on the I don't like these people to the I never even really thought about it. It just happened. But we all have those prejudices, and they did in this context too. And it looked like there was a big problem with that, and people looking on would see this, and they would say, "Hey, you guys say you take care of all your people, but look at these guys; they're a little more difficult, so you just skip them." And so they said, "This is a problem. We got to fix this. We got to break this down. We can't be viewed as a people who sees other people just because they're different and doesn't minister to them." And as a church, we can't be a church who sees someone who might come from a different background than us, be it a different cultural background, or maybe they come and we've been born in church, basically, and they come from a lifestyle that we can't relate to. And often those people get overlooked in the church, and we can't be those people. These are small prejudices that we all carry, and we need to identify them. For all of us, it can be different, but we need to break them down and so that we can minister no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your status, no matter what your class, no matter what your race, that you can come and you can be viewed just as God sees you by God's people. We need to break down our prejudices. And here we see the church flourishes because the prejudices were broken down. And they said, that's no good. We got to fix this. So the church flourishes because of that. The church also flourishes when spirit-filled people serve the church within their giftings. When spirit-filled people serve the church within their giftings. Here we see there was a problem. And they're like, okay, we need to fix this. This is an issue that can't be in the church. So we need to fix this. But how are we going to fix it? All right? So the natural reaction would have been, well, then, you know, you guys, leaders, go and make it right. Go serve them. And they're like, that's not really, we don't really feel good about that. We know this is a problem, but you know, we've been handpicked by Jesus and commissioned by Jesus. We need to go and tell people about the good news of Jesus. And we've been gifted by him to do that. How about this? How about we focus on what we're best at and we find some people who are really good at the hospitality side of things and we empower them to oversee this. So here you've got the people who are preaching operating fully within their gifts to serve the church. And then you've got them choosing 7 guys to oversee this ministry of the distribution of food and charity. Who, for them, that is the thing that God called them to do. And we see them giving of themselves, giving of their time, giving of themselves and time in an area where they're really good at it. And we see that's just a small picture of one way that can happen within the church. There are so many different ways that can happen. But we see these people operating within the way they are gifted. So maybe you're a hospitality person. Hey, maybe you're a teacher person. Maybe you're window washing person. I don't know what it is. It can be from the scale of, you know, right up front to way in the back. Whatever your gifting is, you have a place. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the church operating like a body. Every part of your body has a place, and every part of your body needs to be working the way it was meant to work for the body to really be able to do what it's meant to do. So we need to work. We need to work within our giftings. So sometimes we say, wow, man, Vaughn, that was really cool. I want to do what you do. But the thing is, you can't play guitar. But you say, I want to be a worship leader, and you're trying to play, but you can't. God's not maybe gifted you in that way. You can learn, sure. That's just an example. But maybe there's a way that God is gifting you. And when you desire to go somewhere else, and when you desire to go out of that, it's like, your mouth wants to be fingers. That would be weird, and people would run screaming from you. But we need to operate within our giftings. We need to serve. We need to serve where God made us to serve. We need to come with our hands full to church with something to give. And it doesn't always happen within these walls either. You know, maybe you serve the church by doing something outside, hosting a small group. Maybe you have a house and you have a living room and say, hey, you're a good leader. I have a living room. Why don't we start a small group? Just simple things like that. But, man, God needs us working. God needs us serving. And God needs us in the position that he's placed us here to be in. We'll get to a little bit more about that near the end. But so the church flourishes when prejudices are broken down. And the church flourishes when people serve within the way that they're gifted. And thirdly, the church flourishes when God's word and the preaching of God's word is held in a position of importance. At first response, when I read this, the disciples' reaction, the apostles' reaction, seems a little bit arrogant. Should we give up preaching the word of God to serve tables? It almost sounds like, we're preachers, man. We preach the word of God. We're not serving tables. And I don't think that's it, though. What I think it is them sort of looking back into the second thing, the people serving within their giftings, and then also holding the word of God and the preaching of it in high regard. And says, you know what? Look, this is too important to neglect. But preaching the word of God, that is too important to neglect. But also taking care of our own is also too important to neglect. So that the preaching doesn't suffer, we're going to make this a committee that's going to take care of that. But it was in response to that that they said, you know what, we're going to stand here, we're going to say, you know what, the preaching of God's word is super important. Romans chapter 10, why is the preaching of the word of God so important? Romans chapter 10 in verse 14 and 15, I believe. It says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless someone is sent? Basically, it follows the track backwards from someone calling on Jesus, and it follows the trail all the way back to someone told them about Jesus. And right now, there weren't a lot of people telling about Jesus. These guys were the ones who had been with him for 3 years. They'd been taught by him. They'd been commissioned by him. And they said, you know what? We have to do this. We have to go and preach. Because if we don't preach and we neglect preaching for feeding people, what's going to happen? Well, people are going to be fed. People are going to be helped. But they're not going to be spiritually helped. They're going to be helped physically, but they're not going to be spiritually helped. And at the end of things, when all is said and done, really, they're just going to die with a full belly, but without Jesus. So we can go ahead and we can serve. And that's important. We have to. We are commissioned to. God tells us all throughout Scripture, take care of people, serve people. But Are we going to serve at the expense of telling them about Jesus? Often we hear the quote, and I do like it. It's a good quote if taken properly. St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. And basically what he's saying there is, hey, our lives are a sermon. Our lives preach. What we do tells a story. What we do tells people something. But if they don't tie those actions to the fact that Jesus, the reason we do this kind of stuff is because Jesus has changed us. If they don't tie it back to Jesus, they can be like the couple that, I don't know if any of you heard the story, Mike Bedell tells it, about a couple who just moved into a new neighborhood. And they said, you know what, we are going to be a light in this community. We are going to be servants. We're going to be the best neighbors, and it's going to lead people to Jesus. So they cut their lawn regularly. They bring cookies to the new people that move in. They bring a lasagna over when someone has a baby. They're always chatting up with their neighbors and inviting people over for dinner. And over the course of time, you know, they became, you know, kind of like a hub for the neighborhood. And so on one of these occasions, they're chatting up with some of their neighbors, and they're having a conversation, and the neighbor says to them, you know what, we've been kind of talking around the neighborhood. Oh, yeah, okay. And we all think, you know what, there is something different about you guys. And they're like, yes. We did it. We were a witness for Jesus. He's like, yeah, there's something, and we've been talking about it. We just want to ask you something. Are you guys vegetarians? They're like, vegetarians? No, we're Christians. But the thing is, that was a whole lot of good works that are very good things to do. I'm not negating that at all. But if we don't preach, and when I say preach, it's not getting up on a soapbox, it's just telling your story, telling about how Jesus changed you. If we don't tie it back to how Jesus has made a difference in our life, then all we're doing is nice things. But if we tie it back to what Jesus is doing in our lives, we're doing nice things in the name of Jesus because Jesus has enabled us to do those things. And that's going to be what someone is going to hear. They're going to hear the sermon of your life, but if they don't get the main point that it's all because of Jesus and how he changed me, aside from him, I don't do any of this stuff. If they don't get that main point, we just did some nice things. So the church flourished when people broke down prejudices, big or small. The church flourished when people served within the area that God has gifted them. And the church flourished because the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God was held in a position of importance. So we see this story in the book of Acts, and that's great. The church was flourishing. We look at it, and we say, that's awesome, and they did these things, and that's great. But how does that relate to our context here in CPC, in the Comox Valley, all that kind of stuff? One of my favorite passages in Scripture is this. As someone who does preach, this is one of my favorite passages. James 1:22, it says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. He says, if you're just going to listen to the word, you're deceiving yourself and thinking that you did something beneficial. If you move on to it changing something about you, if you move on to it changing something in the way you act, that's when the benefit comes. So we can see this. We can see, oh yeah, they did it right. They saw the problem, and it was a problem. And they didn't want to neglect some great things to take care of the problem. And so they served within their giftings to take care of the problem. That's awesome. I'm glad they did that. But if we go and we don't apply it to our own lives, well then we've really just heard a really good message. And sung some really good songs, and shaken some really sweaty hands, and then we go home and drank some average coffee. So how can this change the way we act? How can this change what we do, both individually and as our church? Well, let's start at the top. What if we identified where we have a tendency to be prejudiced against a certain group or a certain person. What if we identified that and smashed that to bits and said, forget it. It may be uncomfortable. It may be something that I got to deal with in my life. And said, I'm going to see those people, this person, as a child of God, just the way God sees them. What if we did that? And what if we served them and made a point of not neglecting that person? I'm being very vague because for each and every one of us, it's a different person or group of people. But it's there. And what if we identified that, searched real deep and said, you know what, we are going to be a community where it doesn't matter. You could be green and we would love you with the love of Jesus and not be awkward about it. What if we were to do that individually and as a church body and as the church in the Comox Valley? Well, then we could create a place in the church where the people who are normally rejected are accepted, where people who are normally thought of to be weird are just welcomed in. The people who normally aren't loved can be loved with the love that Jesus has put inside of us, and they can have a home. Those who don't fit in can have a home. We can be that kind of place. And I know it begins with me. I know I have a hard time sometimes. Someone walks in and we don't connect. It can be easy not to minister to that kind of person. And I gotta work in my own heart. But if we break that down, man, can you imagine the kind of environment this place would be? Hey, you know what? I don't want to be a downer. We're doing a great job. And one of the reasons I am in this place now is because this was 8 years ago when I first came, a very welcoming community, and it felt like a family. We were invited out to a barbecue our very first Sunday here. But, you know, maybe for someone else who might be a little different, it might not have happened, right? What if everyone could come in and have an experience like that? The truth is, as well, if we want our church to grow, if we want people to come to know Jesus, well, that means people are going to come from all sorts of different backgrounds, from all sorts of different lifestyles, with all sorts of different baggage, and that can get messy. But we need to break down our prejudices and embrace the messy and say, Jesus loves you. If we want people in here, we got to be ready for people to be in here and say, you know what? I love you. I don't care what you've come out of. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. We love you. We welcome you. Jesus loves you. Come celebrate Jesus with us. So what if we did that? It could be amazing. And what if we all used our gifts to serve the church? We sang, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out your praise. You know, what if we said, it's our talent in our hands, so we pour out our, I don't know, whatever the talent might be. It might make for an awkward song. But what if we had that attitude? Basically, God, you've given me the breath, so I'm going to turn it back and praise to you. Well, God, you've given me the ability to do this, the compassion, you name it, whatever your thing is. You've given this to me. I'm going to use it to serve you. Really, I'm only returning anyway since it came from you. It's yours to begin with. I'm going to give the time you've given to me. Maybe you're a single person, and I know life can be busy once you get family going on. Maybe you're a single person, you got lots of time. It's your time in my schedule, so I pour out my time, you know, that kind of thing. What if we took that attitude and every single person said, you know what, I am going to take what God has given to me, the time, talent, treasure God has given to me, and I'm going to return that to him. I'm going to invest it in what the church is doing. I'm going to invest it into God's work and reaching out to other people. I'm going to take it to the place where it can be most greatly multiplied by Jesus. What if we all did that? Like right now, our church is functioning at a level that it can function with the amount that is being given in service, time, money, all that kind of stuff. What if we were firing on all cylinders? And what if it was like a big V8? you know, just, can you imagine with me? Like, I don't know how many people would this place fit. 500? 2 services, 600. There we go. okay, so we go 600. And we say 600 people. Every single one of them is serving in some area and exactly where God has put them to serve. Can you imagine the kind of community, kind of church, the kind of impact we can have in the Comox Valley? Man, I like to dream about that kind of stuff. Hey, this doesn't happen tomorrow, but man. It's the supernatural anointing of the Holy Spirit that enabled the explosion of growth and service. Our church members need a powerful encounter to stir us to do this impossible service. Yeah, absolutely. All this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. God lives in us. We have that power inside of us, and he flows through us. All of this by the power of the Holy Spirit, then as he enables us. Absolutely. And he has enabled us. If you're here, the Holy Spirit has enabled you to do something. And if you're not involved in some area, that means, and he's placed you here for a reason, that means there's something that's not getting done that could be getting done. And you could do. Again, thank you, Shirley, by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But imagine what it would look like if as we went, both in this place, but especially out of it, with a difference in the way we act, look, feel the joy inside of us. What if that was really visible, and then we put solid truth of the gospel behind it with our words, telling people, look, I know I might be a little bit weird sometimes, or I know whatever you're noticing. Well, that's all because of Jesus. I know, sometimes you get to talking and people talk poorly about their spouse. And it's like, man, I'm in love with my spouse. But, God is empowered. God has placed so much love inside of me. Forgiveness, grace, all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's one thing or the other. But putting words behind the actions, putting words behind how the Holy Spirit flows through us and people notice, putting words behind that, saying, you know, this is all Jesus in me. This is all the Holy Spirit living inside of me. This is all God. And it's also for you. Man, can you imagine the kind of growth that we could have? 1 Peter 3:5 says that we should all always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us. Be prepared to talk. Be prepared to speak. Sometimes maybe your next step today is as you sit down and you write down a reason for your hope. You write down a little bit of what God has done in your life. So you have something at least in your head that you can share if someone asks you, well, what's up with you? Something beyond just, you know, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? So I believe God has great things in store because of this message. It isn't just they formed a committee. It isn't just that they formed a group of people to take care of an issue. Apparently, I can't say that word. Not even going to try again. Committee, there you go. It isn't that they just solved a problem by appointing some people. There you go. It is that God moved mightily in them. God moved mightily through them. God moved mightily through their service, through their acceptance of other people, and through their upholding of the preaching of God's word. And he can do it in here. He can do it in here and out there. And we have an opportunity. That's probably where I was getting that from, opportunity. we have an opportunity to join God in moving in this Comox Valley, moving in this church, and consider yourself invited. Jump on board to what God is already doing. And just wait and see. His dreams can come true through the power of God, working through his church. And God, I thank you today that you have empowered us, that you have gifted us, that you have given us things that we can use, be it time, be it a certain talent, a certain... I don't know, you've just given us so much stuff, and we want to pour it back to you, be it in praise, in service, in financially, We want to pour it back to you. God, would you move in us, stir us, show us our next steps, and help us to slowly, step by step, take those next steps into what you've called us to, that we can see your church just explode in the Comox Valley, that we can see people touched with the love of Jesus, that people, we can see people accepted, we can see people helped. And God, we're excited for what you have to do. We believe you're doing great things. And Lord, would you stir us, would you draw us to jump on board with what you're doing, with all that we have, with all that we have. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Speaking of invitations, I'm just going to end with this, and then we'll be dismissed. Invitations. You are invited, like I said, to serve with God, but you are invited to join us tonight. We are gathering again for a worship experience, some teaching, some fellowship, all that kind of stuff. At 6:30 tonight, Johnny already talked about it, our very first evening service. Come on, check it out, see what it's all about. Join us, praise God with us, and worship with us. Well, I just want to bless you guys. Say, go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Use the gifts God has given you to serve anybody, and don't be afraid to share Jesus with people with your words. That's it for me, and you guys are dismissed.